Star Wars, the album Victims of the Mother Nature is coming out worldwide November 1st. Can you tell us more about the ideas and concepts behind this release?
Well, it's the second Star One album I do. I think it's a bit heavier, it's a bit darker than my first Star One album back in 2002. That album was based on space movies, so movies set in space, therefore the title Space Metal. This album, all the movies, all the songs are based on movies like dystopian movies and post-apocalyptic movies. So yeah, the material is a bit more down-to-earth and a bit darker than the first album.
And what kind of movies did you base it off this time, since you pretty much, you seem to like have used one of the, some of the the coolest ones in the last one?
I hope so, yeah. It's definitely movies that made an impression on me throughout my life, you know, either as a kid or when I grew up, like in the 80s and 90s. So it's, yeah, it's the darker movies like Blade Runner and Planet of the Apes, The Matrix, Gattaca, A Clockwork Orange, stuff like that.
And what do you think about the, how do you start crafting songs revolving around the movies? Do you always have like an idea in mind and then just build on it?
Basically, I work the other way around. I first make the music instrumentally, and then I decide, like, okay, what kind of movies am I going to base it on? Okay, the material is a bit darker, it's a bit heavier, it's a bit more down-to-earth, so let's base it on this type of movies. Then I watch a lot of these movies. I think I watched about 30 or 40 movies in this style. Then I pick about 12 of them, and then I decide, like, okay, which movie am I going to put on which song?
And how hard do you find this process, since, I mean, we assume that, you like all the movies that you select from the beginning?
It's kind of easy, you know, because there's some movies that were very important for me as a kid, like Logan's Run, you know. Maybe it didn't stand the test of time, but back then I really loved it as a kid, so it's obvious, like, okay, I definitely want that movie in. Then there's movies like The Matrix that are just so influential and so important in the whole movie history. And then there's like movies like Blade Runner, that is my favorite movie of all time, you know, especially in this style. Somehow it's just, you know, like the song, it all ends here, the last song on the first album. It's just made for Blade Runner, you know. It's very easy. It's like, okay, I see visions of Blade Runner on this song. And this, for instance, the song Digital Rain is like a very fast and technical song, and it's, for me, it's like obvious, okay, of course this is fits together very well with The Clockwork Orange. So yeah, that was quite easy.
And how do you, musically, how do you set out to make music that it's both a little bit innovative and does not repeat yourself again?
Well, I was afraid of that, you know. That's why I do so many different projects, because I hate to repeat myself. And I'm always looking for new challenges. And I guess that's why it took 8 years to do another Star One album. But this time, I really felt like doing a metal album and a more direct and in-your-face album. So it had to be a Star One. So I was listening to the first Star One album, and it's like, okay, what can I improve on? And I actually really like the songs on the album, like Ivra so I was like, okay, well, I can definitely improve on the sound, because I don't like the guitar sound much on the first Star One album, and the drum sounds could be a bit better. So I just spent weeks and weeks on getting like a great guitar sound, because that was going to be the basis of the new album. So I think I really improved on the sound and the overall feel. I didn't really try to write an original album or something like that no one has ever done before. That wasn't the goal for this album. That's sometimes a goal when I do another kind of album, but not on this album. I just wanted to do a very good sounding and a very heavy and a very straightforward metal album.
And for how many years have you been dabbling with the idea of another Star album since, like, we all know it took more than around 8 years?
Well, you know, people always ask me for it. You know, for 8 years they've been mailing me, like, please do another Star One. And it's especially the fans who like the metal side of Arion. Because, you know, Arion, I call my mothership. You know, Arion has all these different styles from prog to metal to folk to psychedelic to poppy music, whatever, everything you could find on Arion. Now every now and then I like to concentrate on just one of these styles, and Arion, Star One is obviously like the metal side of Arion, and there's a lot of fans who like that side of Arion, you know, so they've been asking me for that, and I knew that one day I would do a follow-up, you know, but I would have to be ready for it, like, now.
And Ole, you decided to go basically with the same featured, like, guest singers from last time. Why did you decide to go this way instead of shaking things up and adding maybe other ones or more?
Well, I was thinking about that. I was thinking, like, okay, if I do a second one, maybe if I use different singers and different musicians, you know, maybe then people won't compare it with the first album. It will be entirely a new thing. But then, you know, I was thinking about these four singers, Dan, Damien, Floor, and Russell, and I was like, they are the best, you know. I can't replace them. You know, if I don't take Russell, who else am I going to take? I mean, this guy's the best singer in the world. And the same goes for the three other singers. And also I was thinking, like, okay, Arion is my project with a revolving cast of singers and musicians. So, maybe I should keep Star One like a band feel and work with the same musicians.
And now that you're in the early stages of promoting and stuff, are you guys planning on doing any live shows?
It's going to be very difficult to get all these people together. You know, it's 10 musicians on this album. They all have their own bands. Russell is very busy with the new Symphony X album. Floor is promoting her new band, Revamp. The other guys are in the studio. So, yeah, to get these people together for a couple of weeks of rehearsals and for a tour, it's going to be very, very difficult, and also, of course, very expensive. I mean, I'm going to have to fly them all over from all over the world and put them in hotels for a couple of weeks, and so it'll be a huge undertaking. So, but they all said that they would love to do it, so it is an option. There's just no definite plans.
And when you come up with the project idea, the everything for the album and stuff, do you ever consider this little thing? So you rather have like a great album but no touring or live support for it?
Well, I did the whole live thing for 15 years when I was in my band, you know, back in the 80s. Like from 79 till 93, I've been touring, and touring is not very creative. It's just playing the same songs night after night, and you know, traveling and waiting in hotel rooms and having to deal with people that I don't want to deal with, and drunk band members and stoned band members. You know, and in the beginning I loved it, you know, as a kid you like all the attention, you know, and the whole sex, drugs, rock and roll thing. But at a certain point I was like, nah, you know, this is not my kind of thing, and I much prefer being creative, and I'm much more like a composer, producer, than a performing artist. So at one point when I started the Arion project, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this huge project with so many guest musicians, you know, that I can't even play live. So, it really isn't my thing anymore, the live thing. But having said that, you know, that hour on stage where you see the happy faces of the fans, and that's beautiful, you know, that's great. But before you get there, you have to go through a lot of misery of rehearsing and organizing shit, and... Yeah, that's a big step.
And going into the title of the album, "Victims of the Mother Earth," what was your idea behind this title?
It is a quote from the movie A Clockwork Orange. And I think I had three options for titles. I had the title "It All Ends Here," which the record company didn't like at all. They said, "No, if you call it that, you know, it's like it's your last album ever." Then I had the option "Generation of Despair," which sounds a bit bombastic, maybe a bit pretentious. And then I had the option "Victim of the Modern Age," or "Victims," which is also a song on the album. And that just seemed to fit with every lyric, you know, every lyric and every movie that I chose. The title "Victim of the Modern Age" seemed to fit with the stories.
And going to the music, how do you start, you know, conceptualizing all the music first before having a pretty definite idea of what you want the song to be about?
Yeah, that's it. I always start with the music and let the music inspire me to come up with either a story or lyrics, or in this case, to come up with the movies.
And do you think that over the years, this process, I mean, being here in Star One area or all the other projects, this is getting easier for you to sit down and compose music?
It depends. It depends on my whole mindset, I guess. It depends on how I feel. I've been going through a deep depression about 4 years ago, and at a time like that, I'm really not creative, you know, and it's horrible. Like, you know, I just want to die and don't want to speak to people and don't even want to think about creating stuff because, yeah, you're in the black hole and you feel like you're never going to get out. But I think, yeah, in when I feel good, like now, I'm very creative, and it also seems like it's easier than in the old days. You know, you learned more, you know more about music, you know more about production, you know more about sounds. I know all these great singers, you know. Like when I was writing these songs for Star One, I already knew that I had my four secret weapons, you know, those great singers. Who would eventually sing on these songs, you know, which makes it a lot easier if you know that that's the icing on the cake.
And do you think that, I mean, what do you think are your current limitations having all the range of musicians, instruments that after so many years you've been able to now have at your disposal?
I kind of like having limitations because it challenges you, you know, to come up with. Like right now, I would love to do a solo album, you know, which is really seriously limiting myself because I'm not a great singer at all, you know. So it's like very challenging. Can I do it on my own? Can I do it with all these great guest musicians? And can I keep it interesting? So yeah, I'm always looking for challenges, and also within Star One, you know, Star One has all these different styles, which has become a limit in itself. Because if I do a Star One, you know, everyone is expecting all these different styles. So every now and then, I feel like no, let's concentrate on one of these styles. You know, like now with Star One album, let's concentrate on the metal side. So. Yeah, constantly looking for new challenges.
And as you mentioned, so you think your solo album would be the next project that you want to undertake, or are there any other things that you're juggling around?
Well, I've been planning a solo album for 10 years now, and every time I in the end I don't do it, either because I find a better singer or people are asking for a new Arion, you know, it's like, okay, nobody's waiting for a solo album, so let's do an Arion. You know, so each time I changed my mind, but I think that really this time, you know, I turned 50 now, before I'm old and decrepit, you know, I got to do that solo album now when I still have a little bit of a voice left, and I really feel like doing it, really. It's like, you know, maybe also because people are not expecting something of it, you know. And, that's usually the way I work. I make an album that I think that the people want, and then I make an album that is more challenging. It's more an album for myself.
So what do you think about all these new facilities that technology has allowed musicians to make music now? I mean, like, you use multiple singers, everything. Now it's easier to send back and forth stuff. How do you feel that this has affected the whole process?
I don't like sending stuff at all. That's why I have all the singers in my studio. I always fly them over. And of course it's expensive, and of course it takes more time, but, you know, magic happens when the singer is standing next to me, and there's a chemistry, and you're working on songs, and you get, like, great ideas because of that, you know. You can feed on each other for ideas, and so it's... I really don't like sending my file to a singer, and I hear sing on it, and then I send it back, you know. And it's always scary, because I get it back, and it's like, shit, I would have done this different, or that could have been better, so I much prefer having singers next to me. For musicians, it's different. Like, if someone plays a solo on my album, like Gary Weerkamp of Shadow Gallery did on this album, then, of course, you know, he could do it in his own studio, and I send him the file, and he sends it back to me, and that's perfect, you know. That works perfectly, because that's such a personal thing, you know. I wouldn't tell him what to play. That works out fine. So, it's you know, the whole technology has two sides. Things get a lot easier and a lot faster, but I don't think things get better, you know. And that's where the whole victim of the modern age comes in, you know. I am as much a victim of the modern age as anyone, you know. I'm completely hooked on computers, and, you know, if my GPS in my car stops, I'm helpless, you know. I might as well stop on the side of the road and start crying, you know, because I lost my way. It's horrible, but yeah, that's the way it goes. There's, you know, once you're addicted to the whole computer thing, there's no way back.
And how much technology do you think that's enough for a person to survive traditionally, or a little bit, at least with help, but not as dependent as now?
Sorry, can you please repeat that? I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, how much technology do you think it's enough for a person to live comfortably, but not be so dependent like we are now?
Well, as long as technology keeps working, it's no problem. But, like, if my computer breaks down, I feel like an idiot. It's like, okay, what do I do now? Where do I go now? And I don't know how to fix it, because I don't know how it works. And it's, at moments like that, I'm thinking, like, oh, my God, you know, where has this gone? and also when you're listening to 60s stuff, you know, when you listen to the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper, or you listen to Rainbow Rising, you know, that's all pre-computer days, you know. That's all a band going into the studio and going for it. And those albums sound so much better and so much more alive than all the shit you heard in the 80s, you know, when people started discovering computers and programming their drums, you know, and nowadays tuning the vocals and copying everything. It's you really have to stay in charge, you know, and that's hard with computers. You know, if you have the option to make a vocal take perfect with auto-tune, it's very hard not to do it, you know. that's very hard. That's the whole trick nowadays, I guess.
And once you approach this, how much of this, all these tools that are to facilitate, when people use them, well, abuse them, do you like to use in the production of your albums?
Sorry, can you please repeat the question?
Yeah. How much of this new modern tools do you like and consider using for your albums?
Well, as I said, I'm a victim of the modern age, you know. So if I have 5 takes of a vocal and one take is like really full of emotion but it's out of tune, But it's better than another take that's perfect, but it doesn't have so much emotion. I would definitely use the auto tune, you know, and tune the emotional take. Same with drums, you know, if drums are great, but just a little bit off with the other instruments, but it's like a great fill, then I'll just put Beat Detective on it, you know, which just puts it in the right place. So I use it sparingly, but if it's necessary and it makes it better, then I just do it. I mean, yeah, the options are there. And like I said, you know, it's just like, it's hard not to do it and make an album sound spontaneous and real. I hope I never cross that line, you know. I did back in the 80s, because that's when you hear all these big snare samples, you know, and you hear the real snare that you got on tape, which is like, boop, you know, and then you hear these samples like, boosh, and it's like, oh my God, you know, let's put it on. Let's just replace it, you know, get rid of the original snare and replace it with a sample. You know, and you get this machine like, you know, like you get these Bon Jovi productions or Def Leppard productions, and you know, and then you compare it with the great John Bonham, you know, who were like, do you hear all that feel? And yeah, and it's like, okay, let's be careful, people. Let's not get too far.
And I mean, since you're the promotion for this, you probably receive critics and everything. How do you think the people are reacting to Victims of the Modern Age?
So far, it's really good. So far, the reactions are really good, and people like it. And but that's always the way it goes in the beginning. You know, you're not speaking to the people who don't like it because they don't want to do an interview with you. So everyone who agreed to the interview probably likes the album. I can imagine people who really like the more atmospheric, the more Pink Floyd-y side of Arion, you know. I can imagine those people thinking this album is too heavy, but that's definitely the choice I made. You know, no holds barred. It was really like, let's do a metal album. Let's not hold back. Let's make it very obvious that this is a Star One album. And so far, you know, people who liked the first Star One, they like this album. And I've even read reviews of people who hate Arion, you know. They're like, ah, oh, Arion is this horrible, pretentious shit, you know. but this album is great, you know. This is like metal and not too pretentious and not too difficult. So that's actually good to read. It's weird that it's good to read that people hate Arion, but if you read reviews like that, it's like, okay, I reached people that I haven't reached before, so that's cool.
And we see that the some of the signed pre-orders that you guys had available on your site are already gone. So are you guys expecting a good positive reaction for all the fans that have been waiting for 8 years?
I expected people to like it and to be waiting for it, you know, because I got all these emails in the last 8 years of people asking for a new Star One album. But I really didn't expect for the whole limited edition to be sold out within a couple of days. You know, that was like, oh my God, what's happening here? You know, we should have ordered more, but this is it, you know, it's sold out, it's gone. And yeah, it was within a couple of days, you know, already on the first day there were like 1,000 sold, and it was, yeah, that's heartwarming, you know. I didn't expect the reaction to be that good.
And in terms of what the future holds for Star One and Arden, what's the next step after the promotion of this album, obviously?
It always takes about 3 months for an album to be released from the moment that I'm finished with it. So I'm already finished with the album like 2 months ago or something, so I'm already working on a new project, which again is going to be a reaction to the Star One album, which is going to be, therefore, going to be a more quiet project, a more smaller project. And it's actually something I've been promising myself to do for the last 10 years, but it never materialized. But I'm finally going to do a solo album. which is kind of scary, you know. Can I do it? Can I make it interesting for just on my own, you know, just my little voice? I don't have all these secret weapons like Russ Hahn and Jorn Lomman and Bruce Dickinson and stuff, you know. Can I do it on my own? Can I keep it interesting? So that's kind of like a challenge that I would love to have now.
And do you see that the next Star album might take another 8 years in the future?
I'll be almost 60 then, so it will be kind of pathetic, like there in my headbanging in my wheelchair. But I have no, you know, I don't really plan things, and it's just, yeah, each project leads me to another project, and my inspiration leads me to some project, and I never plan ahead. So it could be that, you know, after the solo album, I'm like, hey, let's do another Star One album. I feel like rocking out again, or I might feel like doing an Arion album again. You know, like, okay, I got ideas for a new Arion album. And so I would definitely love to do another Star One album, because there's enough themes I want to explore, like time travel and stuff like that. So I would definitely want to do another one, but I shouldn't wait too long, because then who knows what happens by then.
And are there any other, like, remarks that you want to say to the North American audiences listening to this interview?
I just really hope that they're going to like the album, obviously. And, that they like, you know, even if they don't like Arion, if Arion is, like, too pretentious for them, like I said, you know, they might just... they might just like this album. I think it's a very honest album. That's the way I feel it. And I think it sounds great. And right now, I'm really proud of it. So to ask me again in a year, I'll probably tell you, that drum sound was horrible, man. Oh, that one singer was shit. And but right now, I'm like, okay, this is what I wanted to do. So I hope that came across.